ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वासुदेव प्रचोदिता। शुकदेव गोस्वामी सेड, ओ महाराज परीक्षित, द प्रीस्ट ऑफ द यादव डायनेस्टी नेमली गार्गमुनि, हु वाज हाईली एलिवेटेड इन ऑस्टेरिटी एंड पेनेंस, वाज देन इंस्पायर्ड बाय वासुदेव टू गो सी नंद महाराज एट हिज होम। हम दृष्ट्वा परमा परीता प्रत्युत्थाया कृतांजलि अनराक्षदोक्ष जा धिया प्रणिपाता पुरारसहम। When Nanda Maharaj saw Gargamuni present at his home, Nanda was so pleased that he stood up to receive him with folded hands. Although seeing Gargamuni with his eyes, Nanda Maharaj could appreciate that Gargamuni was adhokshaja, that is, he was not an ordinary person seen by material senses. Subhavishtam kritatityam kirasunrithaya munim nanda yitva bravid brahman puranasya karvamakim. When Gargamuni had been properly received as a guest and was very comfortably seated, Nanda Maharaj submitted with gentle and submissive words, "Dear sir, because you are a devotee, you are full in everything. Yet my duty is to serve you. Kindly order me. What can I do for you?" Mahad vichalanam nirnam grihinam dhina chetasam nishreyasaya bhagavan kalpate nanyata kvachit. O my Lord, O great devotee, persons like you move from one place to another not for their own interests, but for the sake of poor-hearted grihastas. Otherwise, they have no interest in going from one place to another. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As factually stated by Nanda Maharaj, Gargamuni, being a devotee, had no needs. Similarly, when Krishna comes, he has no needs, for he is Purna, Atmaram. Nonetheless, he descends to this material world to protect the devotees and to vanquish miscreants. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. This is the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and devotees also have the same mission. One who executes this mission of para upakar, performing welfare activities for people in general, is recognized by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as being very, very dear to him. Nacha tasman manushyesu kashchin me priyakritama. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised this para upakar, and he especially advised the inhabitants of India. Bharata bhumite hoila manusya janamajar janma saratka kori kara para upakar. One who has taken birth as a human being in the land of India, Bharatvarsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. On the whole, the duty of a pure Vaishnava devotee is to act for the welfare of others. Nanda Maharaj could understand that Garga Muni had come for this purpose, and that his own duty now was to act according to Garga Muni's advice. Thus he said, "Please tell me, what is my duty?" This should be the attitude of everyone, especially the grihastha. The Varnashram society is organized into 8 divisions: Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Nanda Maharaj represented himself as Grihinam, as a householder. A Brahmachari factually has no needs, but Grihi, householders, are engaged in sense gratification. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya pahrita chetasam. Everyone has come to this material world for sense gratification, and the position of those who are too attached to sense gratification and who therefore accept the grihastha ashram is very precarious. Since everyone in this material world is searching for sense gratification, grihasthas are required to be trained as mahat, great mahatmas. Therefore, Nanda Maharaj specifically used the word mahad vichalanam. Garga Muni had no interest to serve by going to Nanda Maharaj, but Nanda Maharaj, as a grihastha, was always perfectly ready to receive instructions from a mahatma to gain the real benefit in life. Thus, he was ready to execute Garga Muni's order. Here we find the beautiful example of the perfect example of a pure devotee of the Lord in the grihastha ashram. Nanda Maharaj, what is his exalted position? We have just been reading in the previous chapter the infinitely fortunate position of Nanda Maharaj. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he fell into a trance of great ecstatic love when he heard Raghupati Upadhyaya narrate that beautiful sloka, that I do not worship the Vedas, the Shrutis, the Smritis. People run after them out of fear of material existence, hoping to find artha, kama, dhamma, moksha. My worshipable object is Nanda Maharaj, because his position is so exalted, so supremely exalted, that the Supreme Brahman, like a helpless child, is crawling in his courtyard. Nanda Maharaj, by the power of his love, by the power of his devotion, he assumes the position as the father, the protector of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. What is the position of Nanda Maharaj? Ultimate exalted position. Who can understand the nature of his love? That Krishna himself, who is the source of Narayan, who is the source of Brahma and Shankar, Shiva, this destroyer of the universe, the source of everything that exists, he is carrying the sandals of Nanda Maharaj upon his head. And he is acting as the very, very humble servant of his father. Sri Nanda Maharaj instructs Krishna and Balaram that now it is time for you to start taking care of calves. So Krishna and Balaram, on father's order, they start taking care of the calves. They go out from morning till evening doing the seva for their father. And later on, in Nandagaon, Nanda Maharaj gives them the charge of the cows. The first day that they go out taking care of cows, this is a great festival called Gopastami. Krishna and his friends, they would go frolicking through the pasture grounds of Brajadham, making all nice arrangements for the cows to eat fresh grasses, to drink crystal clear waters, to protect them from any dangers. In fact, Krishna and Balaram, they had to take care, heading 900,000 cows were in the herd of Maharaj Nanda. And Krishna would climb just as the sun was about to set, that famous tree of the name Tera Kadamba. And there he would call each cow by its own personal name. And each cow would come running in ecstatic love to be with Krishna. And then he would bring them home. And as he was approaching Nandagaon, Jashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj, in the great expectation of love, awaiting the presence of their children, they would have all nice offerings of foodstuffs and garlands and nice scented flowers and all pleasing things for the Lord. And they would take Krishna and Balaram home and give them nice baths with their own hands and feed them nice prasad and entertain them with sweet words, loving exchanges. And then Nanda and Yashoda would personally put Krishna and Balaram in their beds and tell them sweet, beautiful stories of the pastimes of the Lord. And in this way, they would take rest, simply dreaming of the beauty of their children throughout all of the night. So Nanda Maharaj, he was the king of all of Braja. All the cowherd men, all the gopis, they all would work under his direction. And Krishna, such a supreme person, the absolute Godhead, he is behaving like the very, very submissive, loving child of Nanda. And when Sri Krishna, Gopal, when he wanted to do something, not exactly socially acceptable by ordinary means, in order to increase the loving exchange of his lila and further attract his devotees' minds, during the night when he wanted to meet the Braj gopis, he would very, very secretly and silently leave his house so that Nanda and Yashoda would not know, because he was very frightened that if they knew, he would become punished. He would be in trouble. So this is the position of Nanda Maharaj. That in every step of life, Krishna was always taking a subordinate position to him. And it was not a position of demanding respect from Krishna because I am your father, but rather it was the Supreme Lord, who is Bhaktavatsal, willingly being conquered, being subordinate to the infinite love of Sri Nanda Maharaj. And therefore, Nanda Maharaj, he is worshipped in the highest position by all great devotees since time immemorial. But here we find something wonderful. when Garga Muni is coming to the home of Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj is offering him all respects. Nanda Maharaj is presenting himself as a very fallen, very materialistic person who, due to so many worldly activities, is so much inclined toward forgetting the goal of life. And therefore he is worshiping the lotus feet of Garga Muni and praying to him that, please, give me some service. Saints like yourselves, it appears that you're coming from door to door begging. But actually, you devotees, you have nothing to beg. You are Purna. You are Atmaram. You have Krishna. Therefore, you are self-satisfied. You require nothing in this world. Whether you are sleeping under a tree or sleeping in a palace makes no difference to you. Krishna is providing for you. Krishna is protecting you. Krishna is giving you great, great love, exchange. The Supreme Absolute Truth is always manifesting infinite joy in your heart. So what do you need? Why do you come begging? Why do you go to the house of poor-hearted people like me? Only because of your mercy. Only because you know our position, our lamentable and depressing condition, and you come simply to give us the chance to serve you. Because by serving your lotus feet, we can achieve spiritual consciousness. And without the mercy and the blessings of such great souls as you, we have no hope. We are in a very, very hopeless condition. Persons like you move from one place to another, not for their own interests, but for the sake of poor-hearted grihasthas. Otherwise, they have no interest in going from one place to another. Here we find Krishna is really glorifying Nanda Maharaj. Because although he is in the most exalted position, he is the most humble. He is the most respectful toward the Vaishnavas, the Brahmins, and the saints. And in this way, Maharaj Nanda is establishing the proper conduct for all grihasthas, however lowly or however advanced they may be, should always feel oneself very lowly, should always feel oneself dependent on the mercy of those great souls who have dedicated everything in the renounced order of life. Garga Muni, he was renounced in the sense that he was a pure Brahman who had no other business than enlightening others in Krishna consciousness. So such persons who have dedicated their lives for this purpose, Nanda Maharaj shows that whoever you are, your only hope for spiritual advancement is to offer all respects to such devotees. If you do not offer all respects to such devotees, Krishna's mercy is impossible. It is all a dream. Spiritual advancement is a hallucination. You think you're making spiritual advancement, but what's actually happening? Your pride, your ego is growing. And that's all. Real spiritual advancement is determined by how much one is becoming the humble servant of the Lord. Not how austere one is, not how exalted one is in learning the Shastra, not by how nicely one can sing or by displaying so-called ecstatic symptoms. A mature devotee doesn't take any of these things serious at all. A sincere devotee understands that the only thing that will attract Krishna is the humility of the heart, the humble service attitude toward his devotees. That's all, nothing else. So therefore, the more exalted we actually become, the more we become like Nanda Maharaj. Our own Gurudev, he explains his father. Srila Prabhupada's father's name was Gaura Mohan Day. And he describes he was a pure devotee of the Lord, always immersed in ecstatic love. By his example, he taught his children how to worship the beautiful deity of Radha Govinda. But he explained that his father, every night, he would invite sadhus to his house, minimum five. And he would offer them all respect. He would greet them with very, very extremely respectful words. He would sit them down. He would offer them as much prasad as they possibly could want. And then with a lowly, lowly voice, choked with humility, he would beg them to give his blessings to his, to himself, to his children, to his family. He would bring his small child, Abhay Charan, who later was Srila Prabhupada, and he would say, please, please bless my child that he will be a devotee of Sri Radharani. And Srila Prabhupada explained that Gaura Mohan Day, his father, was such an exalted pure devotee, but yet such humility, such respect. Prabhupada explained to us that his father was actually more advanced than more of most of these sadhus. But this was the symptom of his advancement, that he was always ready and willing to show the utmost respect to those people who are dedicating their lives to propagating Krishna consciousness. And of course, we know that in the Grihastha ashram, and Nanda Maharaj is explaining as a Grihastha, that if we have a job and we are working to make money, it is such a complication in one's life. There are so many diversions. It's a very difficult thing. You have to deal with so many worldly people. You have to be thinking in terms of pounds, shillings, and pence. And therefore, as many of our devotees inquire again and again, it seems very opposite to what is required for the advancement in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Nanda Maharaj is explaining that the only hope for such grihasthas is respectfully worshiping the feet of the great souls who have no other business than chanting the names and the glories of the Lord. And to the extent a grihastha has this quality, to that extent he is dear to Krishna. And to the extent he doesn't have these qualities, whatever he may be, however wealthy or learned he may be, Krishna doesn't care for any of these things. Krishna cares nothing for money, cares nothing for the culmination of knowledge, cares nothing for austerity. He only desires bhakti, devotion. So Nanda Maharaj is giving us this beautiful example. And of course we'll find in the words of Garga Muni, he is equally humble and gentle in his demeanor. In fact, in the spiritual world, The competition is to try to give everyone else the higher and more exalted position. In the material world, people are willing to kill each other. They're willing to create lies and blasphemies toward one another, to put oneself in a more exalted position. This is material consciousness. But spiritual consciousness is just the opposite. Krishna consciousness means Gopi Bhartur Padakamala Yoridas Das Anudas. To be the servant of the servant of the servant. To put everyone else as far as possible, at least within one's heart, in an exalted position. And to see oneself as the most lowly servant. And of course, if we are greater than Nanda Maharaj, if we have a higher relationship with Krishna than Sri Nanda Baba, then we may question, maybe it is not required for me to humble myself and offer the ultimate respect to all Vaishnavas and all devotees of the Lord. Huh? But if we are not in that position, which none of us can possibly be, because after all, we are all jivatmas. Nanda and Yashoda, they are expansions of Godhead himself. They are in the most exalted eternal position. They are never conditioned by material nature. But this is their feelings. The giving of ultimate respect. Worshipping the lotus feet of the devotees. Is there any questions? Yes? What do you do with the fruits of your action? Do you use it for your sense enjoyment, or do you offer it to Krishna? We want to speak in a very practical way. We do not want to speak in a impractical way. When philosophy is put into our life, then realization is born. So we want to make Krishna the goal. And we are working. Is Krishna actually and practically the goal? Or is it all just theoretical? We work for money. What are we doing with the money? Are we using it for our sense enjoyment? Or are we offering it to Krishna? Huh? If we offer it to Krishna, then we can understand Krishna will take us seriously. Otherwise, he doesn't care about our empty words. And what do we do with our free time? Every moment that we have at our disposal, do we utilize it to serve the devotees, to keep our mind fixed in chanting the names and reading the Shastra and doing seva for Guru and the Vaishnavas? Huh? Or do we go to the cinemas and watch the televisions and go to all social parties where people are just doing everything and anything? It is a matter of how sincere we are. Krishna reveals himself as you approach him. If you want to approach Krishna a little here and keep on the side a lot here, then you'll get a little bit of Krishna. You'll never understand what is bhakti. So practically speaking, you're working hard, what do you do with the fruits of your work? And after your work, how do you spend your free time? How do you raise your family? Is Krishna always in the center? Are you always striving for that type of seva? If you are, then you could understand that you are on the path Krishna is describing. Krishna says, those who are on this path, their aim is one. They are not irresolute. Everything they do is directed to Krishna. They do nothing that's not directed to Krishna. Some people think this is fanaticism. According to the Shastra, this is Krishna consciousness. Krishna says, Bhaktya Twananyaya Shakyam Aham Evam Vidurjana. Only by undivided devotional service can I be understood. What does undivided mean? That it means every part of your life is aimed toward Krishna. If you divide it in any way, shape, or form, you will not find Krishna. Of course, it may be a gradual process to come to that platform of undivided devotional service, but that should be what we are striving for. That should be our goal. We should never compromise, at least in our understanding. Any other questions? That is another type of false pride. That is all false pride. The grihastha's tendency is to think that these brahmacharis, useless villagers, what are they doing? If they actually had any real qualities, they would be working like me, wearing the clothes of the people in general to show by their example how to be a great saint like me. False pride. And the brahmacharis, their tendency is these grihasthas are having sex, they're having children, they have money, they have all sorts of arrangements for themselves. Fallen condition. Our movement cannot possibly spread as long as we are in this condition. No one will be attracted. The real consciousness of a brahmachari and a grihastha is to be the servant of the servant, to exalt all others. Unless you exalt another, you cannot be his servant. Can you? You have to exalt a person to be his servant. Even a person who is very fallen, you don't exalt his fallen qualities, but you exalt the fact that he's part of Krishna. And therefore you could be his servant. In your own mind. So therefore, we want to completely extinguish this propensity amongst all our devotees. Because it is a great, great impediment toward Krishna consciousness. And it is the greatest impediment to the spreading of this divine love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout society. Grihasthas, out of great humility, may in many ways restrict their association with grihasthas. If those grihasthas are worldly by nature, naturally a brahmachari is supposed to stay close to others in the renounced order of life. But that does not mean he cannot see as a friend and loving God brother all Grihasthas, and see the glory and the greatness in that Grihastha's devotional service. Huh? It is the nature that because Grihasthas are naturally associating with money and women, that brahmacharis, they should not associate in that way with money and women. So therefore, to protect the very sacred and difficult vows that they have accepted, they should stay very close to themselves in that way, but not in a sectarian way, not in a condescending way. Huh? They should be merciful, friendly, and loving toward all God brothers. And God sisters, yes? Huh? How to be humble. Ultimately, the only way to be humble is to chant the holy name of the Lord. Through this process, true humility awakens within our heart. But in order to properly chant the name of the Lord, we must be willing to accept the position that I am a servant. I am not the master. All others are Prabhu and I am Das, I am servant. So if you take the position of a servant, and chant the holy name in this spirit, then real humility will awaken in your heart. But if you do not take the position of the servant, if you're criticizing others, if you're judging others, if you're expecting others to do things for you, then Krishna will not be inclined to purify you even through his holy name. It will be a very long, rigorous process. So by serving the great souls, by hearing from them, and by chanting the holy names, humility awakens within our heart. Any other questions? Is the servant performing his duty to enjoy or to please? If we're not being appreciated and we're being discouraged, that means we're not really serving. We want to be the enjoyer. Correct? To be appreciated is to enjoy. A devotee simply wants to please the master. That's all. Whatever the master wants, not what I want. I want to do so much for you, but you want something else. What is a servant's position? To do what the master wants. Otherwise, we want to be the master of the master. I want you to accept this. Is that service? It is. It is a type of service. But it's a very low-grade type of service. High-grade service is, how could I please you? How could I serve you? Huh? If we work so hard to do something and the master rejects it, then what should our position be? Should we be, oh, what kind of a nonsense person is this? He's not serving me by accepting. Huh? Oh. If we work for 20 years and then the master rejects everything we've done, we should think, oh, what would you like me to do? Huh? That is the position. That is service. This is a tendency. We want Sadhu to come to our house so that we can enjoy him.
We want sadhu to accept gifts so that we can enjoy giving. Huh? We want sadhu to we want to enjoy him rather than please him. So we should ask humbly, will this please you? A servant never demands. A servant asks, will this please you? If this will please you, I would like to offer. If it doesn't please you, then how can I please you? Huh? That is real service attitude. That is the type of service attitude that will directly attract the heart of Krishna. If a devotee thinks that this is meant for me, then that devotee will become trapped. The devotee should understand that every devotee is simply representing Guru. Right? Even the Guru is not really Guru. He's actually just a servant representing his Guru. Everyone is servant. This is parampara. So whatever is offered, if it is favorable for this person's spiritual life to accept this on behalf of Guru, then I will accept. Huh? Yes? No, not at all. If Krishna and Guru wants you to chant and dance, whether you enjoy or do not enjoy is not important. The fact that you do it is important. Huh? If you're enjoying, that's wonderful. If you're not enjoying, that's wonderful. Right? But you're doing it for their pleasure. If it pleases them and you think, oh, I won't do this because I'm enjoying, and that's another type of false ego. Huh? And if you don't do it because you're not enjoying, that's another type. If enjoyment comes, that's wonderful. But that is not why we're doing. Srila Prabhupada, what was his most famous saying? Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. He would say that more than anything else. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. It's his order for us to be happy chanting Hare Krishna. Huh? So you should be happy chanting Hare Krishna. And if you're feeling happiness chanting Hare Krishna, you should think, I'm following my guru's order. I'm blissfully chanting Hare Krishna. And if we're not happy, we should try to chant better so that we become happy, because it's his order to be happy. Right? Any other questions? Yes?
Level of sannyas, and we have completely lost our full aim of goal of life.
Simply the color of one's dress does not necessarily reflect one's consciousness. Even in the Grihastha ashram, if one is fully committed to the service of the Lord, then he is in perfect consciousness. It's not a question of this ashram or that ashram, it's a question of our service attitude, our detachment from anything outside of the service of Krishna. We find in the scriptures so many very, very elevated, exalted devotees of the highest order who were in the Grihastha ashram. Today we're reading about Nanda Maharaj. He was a Grihastha. He was very humble, thinking himself very lowly, like all Grihasthas, like everyone should. But he was in the highest order because his only motivation was serving Krishna. And whatever defect may be in our spiritual consciousness, Krishna explains in Gita, Neha bikramanasosti pratyavayo navidyate, that wherever we leave off in this life, if we leave this world through the process of death, then we take up where we left off. If we are 70% Krishna conscious, we will begin our next birth at 71%. So there's no loss. Whatever advancement we make, whether we're a sannyasi, brahmachari, grihastha, or vanaprast, whatever advancement we make is eternal, and we will take up where we left off. If you actually have no control, then don't worry about it. But if you have the power to control, out of humility, you should control. The tendency is that we try to make a show and a display for the to be glorified by the others. That is the tendency. We want to exhibit all sorts of bodily transformations so that people think we are very advanced. And this is cheating and it is misleading. If it is actually so uncontrollable, then what? If it's uncontrollable, then there's nothing wrong. But we should be in the attitude of servant. We should not be ever putting on a show to show people how advanced we are. Because this has very little to do with real spiritual advancement. Because anybody could do it if they just practice. If you practice for a year, you could show all sorts of ecstatic symptoms. And if you become a mystic yogi, you could do even better. So what? Our aim should be not to display things. Our aim should be humble service. That's all. Any other questions? every moment is the prime time, but especially in kirtan, because it is a time when the devotees are directly coming together to glorify the Lord. There's no other business, no other contemplation. So the real intimacy and sweetness of our relationship will find its foundation during the congregational chanting of the holy name. Two things. That means you should have more kirtans together. And second of all, you have to practice detachment and humility at other times as an austerity. Thank you very much. No. That ideally it is. But if the other person does not reciprocate, that does not change our position. We may not be able to express, we can only really express our love to someone who can reciprocate. But we can have, we still cherish that attitude toward everyone. It is the most difficult thing, because you have to go against the whole current of your false ego. Therefore, it is the supreme austerity. And by simply endeavoring in this way and chanting the holy name, then our ego becomes purified. And then it becomes natural. Hare Krishna.